We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 6, or 1 Corinthians 15, not 6. We'll get to there. Welcome to Sunrise Service. We're going to have a focus on the tomb and what the tomb meant for the people of that day, of that time, on that first Easter morning, those that walked with Jesus, and what the tomb means for us now, over 2,000 years later. So it leads me to ask, why does the empty tomb matter? Why does the empty tomb matter? Let's see what Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 15 about why the empty tomb matters so much. And we're going to be starting in verse 12 through 19. Now, if Christ preached and he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Verse 15, yes, we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then everything that we believe doesn't matter. It's not true. And that's what Paul's saying here. 16, for if the dead did not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men of the most pitiable. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then everything that we believe is futile. That's what Paul says. It's worthless. Might as well cash out now. The closest we're going to be getting to heaven is right now, right here. Because that means that there's no heaven. It means there's no hell. Me talking up here today means absolutely nothing. So why does the tomb matter? Matters because it is the epicenter of our Christian faith, which relies on the incomprehensible to our human mind. Let me rephrase it. The foundation belief of our faith is that Jesus came, died, and rose again. And that means that the tomb is empty. It means that the tomb is empty. So let's build on this. A couple of months ago, I was helping some exchange students from the University of Toledo move into a new apartment, and the students were from Nepal. And so what they needed is we had a warehouse with furniture, and so I was taking my truck to and from the warehouse to their apartment. And it gave me time to get to know them, ask them questions, because they were riding along with me in my truck. And so as we're talking, you know, I'm asking, what is it like in Nepal? What's it like there? You know, what did you do for fun? You know, what sports do you play? Or do they play there? And the conversation quickly returns to what do you believe? What do you believe? And they had told me that they were Hindu. And as we talked, I learned that Hindu doesn't have a firm set of beliefs. There's no firm set of beliefs. And what was more interesting as we talked is that they said that they respect Jesus. They respect him. The best way to explain the Hindu religion would be this way. We would ask, what do you believe? And they would ask, what do you practice? What do you practice? A lot of what they believe is based upon tradition, and what they knew about Jesus are the stories that had been passed down from generation to generation. So the Hindus believe that Jesus performed amazing miracles. They believe that he performed amazing miracles. They believe that he walked on water. Those are the stories that are told, that are passed down. They even taught tremendous teachings. Another major world religion, Islam. The Quran teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin. They believe that Jesus will return and fight a false prophet or the Antichrist one day. They also respect Jesus' name so much that when it is read in the Quran, they all recite, peace be upon him. And the Quran also teaches that Jesus gave sight to the blind, healed lepers, and even raised other people from the dead. What my Nepali friends had told me is that they believe in God. They even learned about and respect Jesus. They didn't say it this bluntly, but we might have heard it said this way before. Why do you have to be so intolerant? Why is it Christianity? Why do you have to be so intolerant about it? We all believe in God. Because what they see as Christianity is Jesus that walked on water. Yeah, we believe that too. They healed the sick, raised people from the dead. But what they're missing is the that we believe the tomb is empty. We see in John 14, 6, it says, where Jesus says, Jesus and Thomas, one of his disciples, are having a conversation, and he asks Jesus, how do we know the way to heaven? How do we know the way to heaven? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So why does the empty tomb matter? The tomb is what separates us. Belief that the tomb is empty. Let's take a look at the story. Let's go to Matthew 28. Let's see when they found the tomb being empty there on that first Easter morning. So we're going to be in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went quickly from the tomb with great fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Sunrise service. And this is what we're talking about. This is what we're celebrating today. This is why we're probably going to have family meals afterward. And this is the first encounter of people seeing that the tomb was empty. Both Marys witnessed and experienced that the tomb was empty and they were impacted by it. But I want to take a moment and pause really quick. Don't know your background, don't know where you're coming from. Some of you might be here because of a family member bringing you here. So I want to pause and ask, if you're not here, if you're not saved today, if you're here not saved, I want to take the moment and invite you to accept Jesus as your Savior. Come talk to me afterward. Come talk to somebody else afterward. Because what we're talking about, the whole point of Easter, is the crucifixion and resurrection. And it's a great time for salvation. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. But for those of us that are saved, I want to plead with you this morning. I want to plead with you that the tomb being empty needs to change everything for us. Our perspective on the world, what matters, and what we're focused on. The post-resurrection response, in my opinion, is the greatest apologetic argument that us believers have today, proving that what we believe is true. 11 of the 12 disciples were martyred for their faith. Peter was crucified upside down in 66 AD Rome under the persecution of the Roman Emperor Nero, one of the most brutal to Christians. James was the first of the 12 to be put to death by King Herod. He killed him by the sword in Jerusalem. We see that in Acts chapter 12. Matthew traveled to Iran, down to Ethiopia, sharing the gospel, probably following trade routes, and preaching the gospel along the way. And it is believed that he is stabbed to death in Africa. John, well, he actually lived a long life. But he preached, he spent all of his days ministering, and he also gave us Revelation too, and was ministering in Ephesus and down to modern-day Turkey or Greece, where he's buried. Simon the Zealot, the majority believes that Simon was sawn in half in Persia. Sawn in half. And every other disciple experienced the same outcome for not backing down for what they believed. Their response to the tomb being empty was the life change, and the life change was immediate. And we see Peter in Acts chapter 2 say that it was to strongly urge, and he was strongly urging and pleading with anyone that would listen. And I don't see the disciples whispering about this when I read Acts, when I read the Bible. I don't see the disciples whispering about what they believed. What I see is being told from the rooftops They're sharing it with anybody that would listen, even when there was conflict, even under persecution. They did all this while holding Jesus with the utmost respect. And they went to their death holding to this belief. The writer of Hebrews said it this way in chapter 12, verse 2. We can go there, actually. Chapter 12, Hebrews 12. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It leads me to ask, what is our response to the tomb being empty? Just highlighted some of the response of the disciples to tomb being empty. And remember, it was the response that really showed it, because they were hiding in a room before the resurrection. You know, they were ready to go back to fishing. But their response to seeing the tomb empty, to seeing the resurrection, to seeing the resurrected Jesus, was that it was everything. Do we actually believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Like, do we actually believe that in our head? I'm someone that enjoys personal finances and talking finances. And so if you've ever sat down with a financial advisor, you'll know the first thing that they'll ask you is, what are your goals? What are you trying to do with your money? And so you might say that you want to be debt-free. You might want to say you have X amount of dollars at the time of retirement. One of the next things that they're going to do is they're going to look at your income, they're going to look at your expenses. They're going to look at what you're spending your money on. And your advisor can tell very quickly what your priorities are by looking at your monthly expenses. You're going to say, oh, you might say that you want to be debt-free, but it looks like you like eating out more than you do actually want to be debt-free. Oh, it looks like you like to shop on Amazon maybe a little more than you do that you want to retire with that amount of money. They'll tell you what you really care about by how you're spending your money. You can say all you want about wanting to be debt-free, but if your lifestyle doesn't reflect it, then they're going to tell you that you're not going to meet that goal. It might sound nice, but you don't actually want it. So I want you to do an audit of your life today. I want you to think, do I just say I'm a Christ follower? And then someone looking at my life would say, no, you prioritize. It could be Ohio State football. It could be your kids' travel sports. It could be your job. You prioritize watching movies every night or scrolling on social media. You know, I was teaching last week in James in a small group, and, it was the, you think you have faith? I'll show you faith by actions kind of preaching. And the room was really quiet. And then, I don't know why, but taxes got brought up. And the room lit up over taxes. And it got me thinking, where's this passion for our faith? If taxes lights the room up, then what? Why does not faith with at works shows what we believe, why doesn't that light us up? And so I was thinking about that. What we see with the disciples is the tomb being empty meant everything. What I want us to try and wrap our heads around is actually believing that Jesus rose from the dead. Our human minds, I feel like it's difficult for our human minds to comprehend that. And so that's why I wanted to sit in that for a second. Because it's what the disciples experienced, and that was their response because of it. Jesus actually rising from the dead is a cosmic event to our whole worldview, our whole perspective on this life. Solomon, the wisest man to ever walk the earth, explained it in Ecclesiastes, where he said, everything is meaningless, completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? The New King James Version says it this way, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What I'm pleading with you this morning is that we don't lock ourselves into the room like the disciples did pre-resurrection, or in our house or in our office, and just keep Jesus on the side. Just keep Jesus over here. Just something we do on Sundays. But instead, like the disciples, after the resurrection, everything they did revolved around the purpose of sharing what they knew to be true. That Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. In conclusion, the resurrection meant everything Jesus claimed to be was true. And as a result, every one of the disciples went to their death proclaiming, whoever would listen, that Jesus was alive. Jesus was alive. On this Easter Sunday, it's a perfect time to do an audit of our lives and genuinely ask ourselves, does my life reflect what I claim to believe? Paul, one of the greatest evangelists, gave us most of the New Testament, fully devoted to Jesus. Talks in Romans 12, let's go ahead and flip there, talks in Romans 12 about what living it out looks like in our lives practically. So we're going to be in 12, verse 9. Says there in verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourself. Never lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to revenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. In doing so, you will heap coals, burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Does my life reflect what I claim to believe? As we go out and on with our lives onto this Easter Sunday, I want to encourage us with the fact that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of us. We claim to be, or if we are Christians. Let us pray that we can walk in that Spirit, in that knowledge of that Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for making a way for us to spend eternity with you. Let's walk in a confidence, knowing that we have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Also want to thank you. I'll bless the meal in the back. Thank you for those that are preparing it, serving it, and we give it all in your name.
So this last song here, it's called God of the City, and it is a wonderful proclamation of who the Lord is and how he is unrivaled. He is unmatched. And as Ross questioned, that's a great question to ask oneself. That's a great way to test yourself and see if you're of the faith. How big is our God? Or is there someone like our God that can take the place of him?
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are. There is no one like our God. To come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done here. No one like our God. There is no one like you, God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done. We believe in you, God. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. And greater things are still to be done here.
And Lord, what wonderful things there are to come. What wonderful things have already come to pass. That the tomb is empty, that you are alive, and that resurrection validates every single thing you claimed about yourself, about us, and about this world. And Lord, what great thing there is to come, that those who are found in you can stand before you and hear those wonderful, gracious words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, that is something to strive for. That is something to look forward to. That is something to tell others about. That they can be adopted into the same holy family as we have. Lord, I thank you for authoring that reality for us. Lord, you are so grand. You are so powerful. You are so majestic. You are so beautiful. Help us not to forget that. Lord, let that fact that the tomb is empty change us on the inside. And may we reflect it on the outside. We love you. We worship you, the living God. Amen. All right, folks, so feel free to head on to the back and help yourselves to the light breakfast that's back there. You guys have a wonderful week. God bless, and happy Resurrection Sunday.